Praise the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you were going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Turn that down just a little bit, Rico. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you. How long?
Forever.
How long?
Forever.
Forever. Wow. He said a lot there, didn't he?
Yes.
That was quite a conversation that he had with his disciples. Preparing them for his departure, you see. He was getting them ready for the time when he would no longer be with them. So he says to them, let not your hearts be troubled. So just minister to your neighbor and say, don't let your heart be troubled. That's important. You know, we got to grab that, because when your heart's troubled, it's because you let it be troubled. So you have control over whether or not your heart's going to be troubled or not. So just speak to yourself and say, I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. I'm just not going to do it. So he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, then I'm coming back. I'm going to get you, so that where I am, you'll be too. Thomas said, he says, you know the way. And he said, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. And so Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one's able to come to the Father except by me. He said, if you knew me, then you knew the Father. And then Philip said, show us who your Father is, and it'll make us happy. We'll be cool. We'll be able to move on with this vision. And Jesus said to him, now wait a minute. I've been with y'all a long time, and you still don't know me? That's kind of scary. To think that he had been with him that long and he really didn't know who Jesus was, dearly didn't know who the Father was. So he says, look, dude, if you've seen me, you've already seen the Father. So don't ask me to show you the Father. So this is verse 10 gets really, 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 really interesting. He says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And then he says, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. That's interesting. Then he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So if you can't believe me for my word, then believe me for my works. So if you can't trust me for my word, then trust me for what you see me do. So if you're struggling having faith in the word, then have some faith in what you've already seen me manifest in your life. You've seen me do some stuff. That's what Jesus is saying. You've seen me do some stuff. Come on, faith people. You've seen him do some stuff. That ain't even a message, but that'll preach for about 5 minutes. Look at your neighbor and say, I've seen him do some stuff. Yeah, I've seen him do some stuff. Tell somebody one of the things you've seen him do. Come on, tell him. Tell him what you've seen him do. Come on, right quick. Testify. What have you seen him do? Yeah, Lord. I've seen him. Somebody say, I've seen him. Oh, I seen him. Oh, yeah. Somebody would say, I seen him make a way out of no way. I seen him be a bridge over troubled waters. Somebody say, I seen him, I seen him. God Almighty. So the next time you get ready to doubt what you heard, you need to remember what you saw. Oh, Lord. Lord have mercy. Somebody shout, I've seen him. You know, if you put two and two together, if you meditate on what you've seen, then it'll keep your heart from being troubled. So he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. That's interesting. And that's where we want to stop today. And we want to minister from this topic. It's our turn now. Look at somebody who has that same intensity in their eyes that you do and tell them, it's our turn now. You better say that. You better say that, Deacon. It's our turn now. Woo! But I tell you something about to break forth in the earth. Somebody say, it's our turn now. It's our turn now. Jesus has already done what he's done. His work is a finished work. And there's still yet a work to be done in the earth realm. And somebody look at your neighbor and say, it's our turn now. Jesus is essentially letting the disciples know here that although he's leaving, it doesn't mean that the work stops. That the work is supposed to continue. That the time that he spent with them was about investing in them and getting them ready to take over the ministry that would change the world. It said about the disciples and the other believers in the early church when they were coming to the city to preach the gospel that these are they which turn the world upside down. A smaller group of people than exist now were so potent in the Holy Ghost that those who were in the city that they visited said, we got to stop these jokers, because everywhere they go, they're turning the world upside down. There are way more of us today than there were of them then. So if they were turning the world upside down, then we ought to be turning the world upside down. And instead of complaining about the state of the world, since we're atmosphere changers, we ought to be changing the world. Pastor, how do I change the world? Change the space you're in. First of all, get you together. Get your attitude right. Get your thinking right. Because it's very difficult for us to help others when we still handicapped ourselves. So listen to the word of the Lord. He says to them, the work's got to continue. And he says very interesting things. He's talking about them not letting their hearts be troubled because I'm about to leave you. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house and many mansions. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. He says, now where I'm going, you know, the place I'm going to, you know. And Thomas, I think it says, we don't know where you're going. And he says, come on, man, you got to know. And he keeps on going. And then he says, I'm in the Father and me. We're doing all this great stuff. The Father's in me. And then Philip said, okay, show us the Father and it'll suffice us. And he says, wait a minute, how long have you been with me that you don't know me? How long have you been around me that you don't know me? How many things have you seen me do that you don't know me? How many acts have you seen me perform in your life that you don't know me? You're struggling to know me. You're struggling to be able to identify that God has to be all up in me. Come on, after all this time, after 3 years of us walking together, surely by now you ought to know who I am. Why are you still struggling to know me? Why are you still struggling to understand who I am? Why are you still struggling to know that I'm a healer? Why are you still struggling to know that I'm a way maker? Why are you still struggling to know that I can do anything but fail? Why are you struggling to know that my arms are not shortened? Come on, why are you struggling? Why are you struggling? Somebody shout, why are we struggling? Shouldn't be struggling. By now you ought to believe every word I say. By now you ought to believe every word that I speak. Listen to Jesus. By now you ought to believe every word that I speak out of my mouth after the time we spent together, but I see you struggling with my words. He says, so if you're still struggling with my words, he said, then remember the works I've done. He says, then believe me for the work's sake. And then he goes into this. He says, listen, I've never said anything that the Father didn't say through me. That's powerful now. This is Jesus now, the Son of God, the Messiah, saying, I've never said anything that I wasn't empowered to say by the Spirit of my Father. He says, in fact, those works that I just got through referencing, he said, my Father did the work. He said, you saw this physical body operating, but the power necessary to get the work done came from the Father. There it is. Because the flesh is weak, although it may be willing. It might want to do some stuff, but it can't get it done. But the Spirit of God is the dunamis, the dynamite, the power that gets it done. So listen to what Jesus said. Jesus lays a precedence. He says, listen to me, guys. He says, what you see, this right here, hasn't really done anything except be obedient to the will of the Father. All I did was arrest my flesh so that my flesh would do whatever God was telling me to do, despite what my flesh wanted to do to the contrary, or despite to the doubts that might arise in my flesh. What I understood was that there was no pressure on me to get it done. There was no pressure on this to get it done. God was going to produce through this whatever it is that he wanted to produce in the earth realm. So when you saw a blind man get his sight back, that was God. When you saw a man raised from the dead, he said, that was God. Come on. He said, when I cursed the fig tree, he said, I didn't tell you to do what I did. He said, I told you to have faith in God. So he says, the Father who dwells in me does the works. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. And in verse 12, he says something really potent to those who are standing around him, who are the next group that are about to take over this ministry. It is succession, you see. He is planning for his departure. He knew that he wasn't going to always be there. He knew that he was going to leave them. And so succession planning says that you have to get the next leader in place before you go off the scene. When you are the leader of anything, you have got to plan for your departure. Because you don't know how long you're going to be here. Life is a vapor, James said. So you may go to heaven tomorrow, but you got to have somebody behind you that can take the mantle and go forward with this anointing to the next generation. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, see the next one coming. See the next one coming. Be able to look around you and identify who's next. And let me tell you something. Who's next is not always the one who has the skill set. Who's next may be the one who has your spirit. Some Somebody look at your neighbor and say, who's next? So he's succession planning. He's getting things in order for his departure because he knows that that time is coming soon. So he says to the disciples, you've been watching me work now for about 3 years. And I want to tell you something. The works that you've seen done are not exclusive to me. When I leave here, the same things you've seen me do, he says, you're going to do it. And then he says, greater works you're going to do. Somebody shout, greater. Don't you be scared today. This is not the Sunday for you to be scared. Pull your bootstraps up, tighten your belt. Get yourself together. Get your mind together. Tell doubt. Doubt's got to leave. Evict doubt and unbelief right now and kick your faith into overdrive. It's time for us to do the greater works. This is not a time for false humility. When we look at the state of the earth, the state of the world, and we Facebook and tweet about the stuff we see in the news and about what we see on TV, and we lament the condition of the world. Why do we lament the condition of the world? We knew the world was going this way. We have the words of life, the Bible, the Biblia. We have the Logos, the Rhema, revealed mind of God for us. Come on, we know this was going to happen. But here's what we didn't know. He left us here as change agents. He left us here as change agents. We're not supposed to just observe. We're supposed to make things happen in the earth. You don't like what's going on in your house? Speak to it. Walk in. Take some spiritual authority and speak to it. And if you don't know what to say, get your Bible. Walk around with it in your hand and speak to it. Somebody shout, speak to it. You don't like what's going on in your neighborhood? Walk your streets and speak to it. It don't matter how crazy you look. It only matters how effective you are. I don't mind looking crazy if I'm effective. You're a change agent. Point at yourself and say, I'm a change agent. That's why God placed you where you were, where you are. You weren't placed in the best places. You were placed in some of the worst places, around some of the worst people. Why do you think that is? Why do you think he would take light and place it in darkness? It's because if light is around light, we ain't got nothing but a light party. Light is needed where it's dark. Somebody say, I'm about to light it up. Just tap your neighbor and say, now remember, it's our turn now. It's our turn now. It's our turn now. We've been calling on the Lord. 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 And the Lord said, I've been calling on you. 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 I have anointed you. I have appointed you. I have placed you. I have empowered you. Now it's your turn. Somebody say, it's my turn now. Now Monday you go back to the job with some confidence that you were placed there to bring the kingdom, to usher in the kingdom. Do you know who creation's waiting for? The sons of God. They're waiting on us to manifest. The Bible said, now are you the sons of God. We're already the sons. They're just waiting on us to stand up. They're just waiting on us to come out of this church. Let me go ahead with the word. Are you ready? Don't be intimidated by the task. Because let me say this to you. Christ is not expecting them or us to do anything. Now that sounds kind of crazy, Pastor. You just told us it was our turn. Now how is it that it's our turn and he doesn't expect us to do anything? Pastor, I think you need to go back to your notes and make sure that you got that right. Let me read it slow. Christ is not, capital N, capital O, capital T, expecting us to do anything. He is expecting us to allow the God in us to do the work. Let me tell you why he doesn't look for us to do anything. I'm going to take you off the hook right now. I'm about to get you off the hook right now. Because, see, some of us were sitting in our seats saying, I don't know how I'm going to do it, Pastor. You must not know where I work at. You must not know where I live, Pastor. There ain't no way. I'm just going to sit here in my seat, praise God, and I'm just going to rock till Jesus comes because I don't know how I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to tell you how you're going to make it happen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's about to happen. He says, I am the vine, John 15:5. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So then the flip side of that is with him. You don't have to worry about trying to muscle up the strength to get the job done because the greater one lives in us. Mark 10:27 says, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, you mean our young men can stop killing one another? You mean we can get the dope off the corners? With God, how many things?
All things.
Possible. We can get the hungry fed. We can get the naked clothed. We can get those who are gender confused straightened back. Well, y'all got quiet on me. Y'all know y'all need to stop that. See, we'll complain about it, but we won't speak to it. We'll sit in our little private cubbies and we'll complain about the state of the world and won't stand up and say anything. Jesus was blunt, the message says, Mark 10:27. Jesus was blunt. No chance at all if you think you can pull it off by yourself. Every chance in the world if you let God do it. See, the thing that's caused the church to be ineffective is that we have been trying to get this huge job done by ourselves in our own strength with great ideas and marches and meetings, but not the power of God. This thing's not going to change because what's happening out there is demonic opposition in the world. And you ain't going to be able to deal with that in the flesh. We need the power of God. What's going to change your home is the power of God. What's going to get wayward children to change is the power of God. What's going to make you impactful on your job, sister, is the power of God. Listen to what Jesus said about himself. From John 14:10 in the Amplified Version. He says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? What I am telling you is that I do not say on my own authority and on my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does his works, his own miracles and deeds of power. Yeah. See, he says, God's the one through me doing his work.
Amen.
They're his ideas. And he puts the muscle behind them. So I'm not thinking up stuff, Jesus said. When you see me walk over to that man to heal him, it's because God unctioned me over there. Now, if I pass that guy, it's because God unctioned me to pass. Let me say this to you.
You are not called to everybody. That's why there's more than one of us up in here. Maybe you supposed to pass him by so Cherie can go touch him. Because perhaps God giving her something beyond the touch that'll help him to keep moving. You touch the one he assigned you to. Somebody say, it's our turn now. You are not the savior of the world. Christ already died for the world. If you want to be savior, I just want to tell you something about the job. First job description is you got to die. Be led by the Spirit. And we're more effective, we're more impactful. The things we do have a longer shelf life. They're more potent, more concentrated, effective. We don't want, listen church, at Real Life, we don't want to be busy. We want to be productive. Busy simply means you're doing a bunch of stuff. Productive means you're doing things that make things happen. So you may not see us doing as much as some churches. But the little that we do. Do y'all pay any attention to Nern? Help me out with this one. Remember back in the day you used to go buy a box of cheer? It used to be about this big. All temperature cheer. Y'all remember back in the day, mother, you remember when you used to scoop a whole scoop of cheer in order to wash your clothes? But now they have this stuff called concentrate. Now my washing powder come in a little pack. Y'all ain't gonna help me. And when I first saw the pack, I told my wife, this ain't gonna get this clean. But see, I didn't understand the power of concentration. See, what I'm saying is, when it's concentrated, a little can do more than a lot. Hey, Lord. That's why I ain't caught up on this church having 500 people. Woo! We just need about 100 anointed, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. Where's the help at? Is there any help in here? I said, is there any help in here? Where two or three are gathered together. He said that. We don't need 1,000 to get it done. Somebody say, God send concentration. God, I pray that you send an anointing so strong over this church, Lord God, that we will go out and we will see signs and wonders following us when we speak the word of God. Lord God, souls will be saved, lives will be changed, and people will be delivered in Jesus' name. The believer said, amen. It's our turn now. Hey God. Oh Lord. Oh Jesus. Here's the revelation that will get us flowing in our gifts. Y'all ready to flow in your gifts? How many gifted people do we have here today? Do you know that the scripture says he led captivity captive and then gave gifts unto men? So he had to take the enemy and what held you captive, and he had to lock it up. So what had you locked up, he locked it up. And then when he freed you, he gave you gifts. So everybody in here has got something. That's what I like about the woman with the oil in the house. She's talking about, come help me. I don't know what I'm going to do. He says, what do you have in your house? She said, I ain't got nothing but this oil. Well, I'm going to tell you like Pastor Dennis Akins told my uncle when he preached for him when he was being ordained. He says, when you get where you're going, use what you got. Come on, if all you got is a loving spirit, then love on everybody you see. If all you got is a nice smile, smile at everybody you know. Somebody say, use what you got. Well, I don't preach, I don't teach, I don't sing. You cook? Then cook. Do you clean? Then go to that sister house you know been sick and clean. And while you're mopping that flow, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that with his stripes, we are healed. Use what God has given you. We need to stop making excuses. We all have something. I walked into the church today. I don't want to put anybody out there, but I mean, I'm just going to say it. And y'all don't know who did it. I walked into the church today, and I saw our church logo in a frame. Now, one time it was cute. But now it's beautiful. Because see, with my talent level, all I could do is what you saw. But somebody came in who had something that I don't have. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So they were able to do what I couldn't do. Woo! Help me, Holy Ghost. See these flowers? The flowers we had, I've been ready for them to be changed. We had them things for about 10 years. Then somebody said, Pastor, I know how to make floral arrangements. I said, well, make them then. Somebody say, use what you got. Now, I may be a preacher, and I may be a teacher, but I can't do this, and I can't do that. That's why God sent you here. He sent you here with a counseling degree. You here with an education degree. You here because you're a banker. He sent the truck drivers here. He sent the ILA here. He sent all of you here because of what you have. We're about to release it. The gifts are about to flow. The gifts of God are about to flow. Are you ready for the flowing of your gifts? Are you ready for your gifts to be released so they can flow? Here's the word that's going to do it. Here's the revelation of God. Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. God gave you the desire you have to do ministry. But along with the desire, yes, he gave you the power or the ability to do it.
Yes. Glory to God.
That'll get the gifts flowing.
Yes.
See, there have been things, some of y'all, you've been dreaming.
Yes.
You've been having visions. God has shown you stuff. And you sat down and you said, I don't know how I can do this. But God gave you the desire. But God's not going to leave you at desire. With desire, he gives you ability. If we were to enumerate the amount of things that we have done as a ministry together that was bigger than us, we'd be here all night. because that's the way God is, you know. He always sets you in front of something that's bigger than you. Because it's not you who's going to get it done. It's him in you. And whatever you're facing, Charlotte, is not bigger than him. So you can stand there and you can look it up and down. See, some of y'all don't come from where I come from. But back in the day, a joker looked funny. Y'all don't come from where I come from. But where I came from, a joker come stepping to you. Y'all know that look? You know what that look means. The next time you get faced in front of something that's bigger than you, and then tell it, you may be bigger than me, but you ain't bigger than him. Woo! Let me move forward. Let me move forward. See, we got to get that he does not call you to attempt to produce more, but to ask and believe him for more. For greater works he has in store for us to receive by his grace and to achieve kingdom purposes for his glory. This is the thing. He says, I'm leaving. I'm going to the Father. And the reason that you've got greater works to do is because I'm going. Now, when you see the word greater, don't get it twisted. It doesn't mean that we'll do things better than Jesus. It just means that we have more capacity because there's more of us. Y'all stay with me for a minute. We're going to look at an example, okay? Now, let's keep looking at the scriptures because they bear this out for us. What Jesus is talking about here, when he says, he goes from talking about them doing greater works, and he says, whatever you ask in my name, let me go to it. Y'all ready to look at it? He says, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Okay, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Y'all got it? Yes. If you ask anything in my name, what did he say? Now, don't think that means that you can go up to him and ask him for something that's outside his will and that he's going to do it.
Amen.
This does not necessarily mean that you can go outside Foot Locker, walk around for a while, and ask the Lord that they'll give you a pair of Jordans, and when you walk in there, they're going to give you some Jordans in the box. Let's keep this in context now. We're doing ministry. We're not being selfish. Because when we see that scripture, we start thinking, oh, Lord, do you really mean anything? Keep it in context. He's talking about us doing greater works. So our prayers need to be related to the work we're called to do, not to the stuff we want. Okay, stay with me. Don't leave because of that now. Y'all stay in your seat now. Amen. Greeters, don't let them out. Let them stay. Tell them stay right here. Amen. Don't leave because, all right. Now, here you go. Now, y'all sit down. You got it. They're all right. They ain't going nowhere. Amen. Now, listen. Listen to what the message says. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do. Look at Jesus. What he's saying here is that our requests have to be made in accordance to the revealed nature and purpose of Christ. What have you seen him do? What was his purpose? You line your request up with those, and Jesus said, it's done. Let's keep going, because there's more scripture to bear this out. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We assure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. And if since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the request made of him. What does this say? You ask something according to his will, he'll do it.
Amen.
But it's got to be according to his will.
Yes.
What is the revealed will of God? before you ask, go to the word and see if it's there. Healing is there. Salvation is there. Provision for the poor is there. Clothing of the naked is there. Children being raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord is there. Marriages that make it is there. Praying for those who have authority over us is there. Stay in the word with your requests. Now here's how this is how the Holy Spirit broke it down for me. It'll be up on the screen so you can follow me. In other words, we need to know the will, plan of God, so that we can ask for what he wants to happen. And since we know that what we ask for is what he wants to happen anyway, we can walk away knowing that it's going to be done because he wanted to do it anyway. If I leave Pastor Leslie a note saying I want some spaghetti with garlic bread, if she asks me if I want spaghetti with garlic bread, I'm going to say yes. If I say to one of y'all, I send you a text and say, I want to provide for you 2014 Cadillac Escalade. If you text me back and say, Pastor, will you buy me a 2014 Escalade? I'm going to say, why, of course. Why? Huh? It's just that simple. You go to him with what he already wants to do. And when you go into him and ask him for it, you walk away knowing that he wants to do it anyway. Amen. So you walk away with another kind of confidence. Yes. When you go to him with what he's already listed. Amen. But when you make your own stuff up, you leave unsure. Yes. Oh, that's good teaching right there. But let's keep going. He says, this is the way the Father is glorified in the Son. That when you guys ask for things to help to get the job done, and then I provide it for you, he says that's the way God gets the glory. So we don't have to worry about the money, Don, to do the vision that God placed in your spirit. Because when you go to him about the vision he placed in your spirit, he's saying, Don, I gave you that. So I'm going to give you everything you need to get it done. So now you can go into stuff that's bigger than you with confidence because you know from the jump that God's going to give you everything you need, that he's going to supply all of your needs according to his riches, come on, in glory. What vision has he given you? What idea, what dream, what witty invention, what plan has he given us that we've been sitting on because we're afraid and it's going to impact the nation. It's going to change generations. It's going to create a Christian culture. It's birthed in you to make great things happen in the earth realm, but we're sitting on it because we're scared. But the word says that he will give you everything you need. Just ask him for the supplies for the vision that he gave you. So here's what he says. When you walk up to somebody, since you're going to be doing my work, when you walk up to somebody who needs healing and I unction you to heal them, when you go up to him, ask me to heal him. And ask me like you know I'm going to do it. Don't walk up with that hope for healing. Walk up with a confidence that when you lay your hands on that person, because God told me to do this. And even if you call, if they call you back a week later and say it hadn't happened yet, tell them, wait on it. We don't have confidence because first, we're not sure he told us to do it. Second, we're not sure of what his will is. And so then we can't have confidence in what we do. Somebody say, it's our turn now. It's our Let's go through this word right quick. We're almost done. Look at this. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Look at him now. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you, oh, wait a minute, another helper. Now, y'all Bible scholars, stay with it now. Another helper that he may abide with you, how long? Now, let's dig into this another helper thing. Another comes from the word alos. Not alos, okay? And it means one beside me, in addition to me, one just like me. It means another of the same kind. He will do in my absence what I would do if I were physically present with you. So he says, don't be upset about me leaving. Because I'm not really leaving. I'm going to tell you what your job is, but don't be intimidated. You've been flowing in your anointing as long as I've been here. I sent you out. You came back saying demons came out. Come on, y'all. And I had to tell you, don't be excited over that. Be excited that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you had confidence because I was here. Now, see, a lot of us say in our mind, if Jesus was still here with me the way he was with the disciples, I sure do a lot more. Oh, Lord, but I come to tell you that the Paracletos, another, come on, y'all, one of the same kind is here, and he's not with you, he's in you. Yeah. We need the radicals to get excited right about now. Because see, they had Jesus with them. Mm-hmm. And see, when they left from where Jesus was in one place, and they were in another, but we have a whole other benefit. Yeah. Because Jesus is no longer with us. Jesus is now in us. Oh, Lord, help me here. And see, whereas Jesus could have only been with Elder Johnson over here, if I went over there, I had to go on my own. But, oh, I'm glad for the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. Because now he got Jesus with him over here, and I got Jesus with me over here. Elder Smith got Jesus over there. You got Jesus over there. You got Jesus right there. You got Jesus right there. Come on, somebody shout yes. So, Deke, while you up there in Springfield witnessing to somebody, under the power of God, you got Jesus with you. Cherie and Ed, while y'all way over yonder in Ridgeland, ministering to them young people who killing each other in the country, you got Jesus with you. Elder Smith, while you're down on the port, ministering to one of them truck drivers that's in the middle of a divorce, you got Jesus with you. Can I get a witness here? Come on there, brother. While you all over the United States, in your truck, on your radio, saying Jesus saves, breaker, breaker, to the glory of God, tenfold, over and out. You got Jesus with you. Somebody say, I got Jesus. Say, I got Jesus. You better say it, I got Jesus. And twins, while you up yonder in college, I want you to know you got Jesus. You got Jesus. London got Jesus. Somebody say, I got Jesus. Oh! Somebody say, it's our turn now. We don't have to be intimidated by the task. Because he says, one just like me, he says, I'm going to ask the Father to send him to you. And everything I did for you while I was here, he's going to do for you. So it's going to be like I never left. Now, to me, it sounds like that he made a succession plan for the succession plan. Now, that's what you call forward thinking. Well, they're going to take over the work, but they're not going to be able to do the work without me. So I'll just leave me. But now that the scope of the vision has been enlarged, I can't go with them all in bodily form. But if I be spirit, I can get in them. Mother, one of my favorite scriptures when I was a brand new preacher was the one that said that they're going to take you before kings and governors. But when you stand before them, don't worry about what you're going to say. Because at that time, the Father is going to give you what to say. Somebody shout yes. Let's go ahead and go home. We almost there. Praise God. Just a few more scriptures. So let's look at this vision that he has for the church today. He says to them, I'm going to leave the Paracletos, one just like me in spirit form. He says, I'm going to leave him with you. He said, now it's expedient for me, for you, that I leave. He says, because if I stay here, the Holy Spirit won't come. He said, but if I leave, the Holy Spirit is on the way. And so in Acts 1 and 8, after he had told the disciples, he says, I want you to go and I want you to wait for the promise of the Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 1 and 8, he says, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you when you get him. Oh, Lord, I want you to know what's going to happen to you. Now, you may run, but that ain't all he does. You may shout, but that's not all he does. You may speak in tongues, but that's not all he does. He says, when you receive the Holy Ghost, ye shall receive power. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. Now, some of y'all sanctified people got to go with me now. Power. Somebody shout power. I don't know why y'all sitting here acting like you ain't in church. I said power. Woo! Power. Y'all messing around. We in the house of God. You ain't in Publix. You ain't at Food Lion. You ain't on your job. I said power. Somebody shout power. He says, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power. And he didn't say power to go witness. He said power to be my witnesses. He said, when this thing gets on you, you're going to be my witness. Because I'm going to change you from who you used to be. I'm going to change you. I'm going to change the way you walk. Change the way you talk. You're going to be my witness. Can I get a witness in here? Do I have any witnesses in here? And listen, this is what he says. Watch him, because he's strategic. He's a big thinker. But he's detailed. He says, you'll start in Judea. Somebody read it for me. I want to make sure I'm giving it right. Jerusalem.
And in all Judea. And
so you're going to start in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
That's home. Before you worry about changing your block. Before you be anointed at the grocery store, you need to be anointed in your house. Don't you lay hands on nobody outside if you ain't laying hands on your family. Because if your house is not right, then how can you do ministry? We out witnessing to everybody. And not speaking the word over our family. You will be a witness, first of all, to those closest to you. The people who know you. So now when they look at you, they say, that joker there, he really saved. Because I remember Dylan. I could use him because he's my son. He won't get mad at me. Can I get a witness, bro? I know this joker here. And if God can change him, he can change anybody. See, that's my testimony too. I'll never forget the day when we were walking in the MLK parade and the brother saw me, the guys I used to be with, and say, Paul, what's up? I say, ain't nothing, man. They say, this your church? I say, yeah. Oh! They say, hey, man, I saw you on TV. I was thinking you watched. See, at first, they want to watch to see what you're talking about. And then they watch you to see if you're real. But if you keep being that witness, they'll begin to see Jesus in you. And after a while, they'll start watching to see how to live. Then we branch out from Jerusalem and we go into all Judea. That means now we're going all out into the neighborhood. And we leave there and we go to Samaria, our workplace, where we shop, where we do business. Come on, we're spreading our branches. And then where? The uttermost part. He's placed his spirit in every believer. And we leave here. And we go in so many different directions. What if we were all doing what we're called to do where we are? Greater works. What if we did it every day of the week? Greater works. What if each one of us was a witness to somebody else and they got saved? Do you know how many people would be getting saved? Greater works. Greater works. It's our turn now, bro. It's our turn now. You know we have more influence than they had? They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Twitter. We can get on Facebook if we use it right. If we use it to instead of griping and shooting arrows at folk and complaining, let me tell you this to y'all on Facebook. You already love. You ain't got to worry about no likes. People were putting up stuff out there to stack up likes. Every now and then, God will have you put something out there that's convicting and it won't get liked by nobody. But don't worry about being liked. You're already loved. We're done. Here's what happens. Peter and them took that thing to heart, and after they received the Holy Spirit, in Acts 2, it said the Holy Spirit came rushing in on them boys like a wind. In that room they were in. Filled every last one of them. And they started speaking as the Spirit gave them utterance in other tongues. Not unknown. Other. Not unknown. other. Proof that it was other tongues is because they went out and it gives this long list. And y'all go to Acts 2 and read it. It gives this long list of people from different places who understood what they were saying. They were speaking other people's languages. And get this. Here's what they were talking about. The wondrous works of God. They were talking about the Lord and the great things he does. When God anointed them to speak in another language, they didn't waste it. They talked about God. And the people came up and said, they're drunk. And Peter steps up. Of all people, Peter. Now, you know, you see Peter stepping up, you're probably going, oh, Lord. Be honest. Because the last time Peter said something, he was telling Jesus he didn't have to die. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. That might be the last person you want to speak at the revival. But when he got up, Ed, he said, these are not drunk as ye suppose. He says, but it's as the prophet Joel said, in the last days, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He started talking about sons and daughters, prophesying. Sons and daughters, prophesying. Our young people having such an anointing on their lives. They're off in their high school classes, middle school classes, elementary school classes, telling people about Jesus. They won't be ashamed if you don't be ashamed. If they see you share Christ, they will share Christ. It'll be their culture. He ends his sermon by saying, repent. Come to know Jesus. And 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom in one day. One sermon. Greater works. He didn't make an empty promise, Nelson. Once that Holy Spirit he promised would come came, the results came. But it wasn't just because of the Holy Spirit. It was because they allowed themselves to be used of the Holy Spirit. It's our turn now. Somebody just reach over to your neighbor and just tell them in a reassuring way, it's our turn now. Tell them what God gave you is going to be to his glory. Where he placed you is going to be to his glory. The people he set you around, your sphere of influence, you're going to see that it was on purpose and it was for his glory. Come on and give God glory in the house today. Come on, if you know